A couple went to the local shopping mall to do some Christmas shopping, and the place was rammed to the gills. It was very, very busy, and it was only a few minutes later that the wife suddenly realised that her husband was no longer anywhere to be seen. And with lots that needed to be done, she panicked a little bit, called him on his mobile, got through and asked him where he was. He said to her in a fairly quiet voice, he said, do you remember that jeweller's we went to about 5 years ago? And you fell in love with that necklace that we couldn't afford. And I said, one day I'll get it for you. And beginning to choke up now, the wife said, yes, 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 I do remember that shop, of course. And the husband replied, yeah, I'm in the pub just next door to there. I read that in a newspaper clipping. I hope it's true. I want us to look at some words of Jesus. They're printed in our service sheet from Mark's Gospel. Words where Jesus is very clear about his intentions for Christmas, where there's no ambiguity about what he is up to. These are some of the most famous words Jesus said. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. When I was growing up, I think I had a fairly confused view of who Jesus was. He was something of a cross between Gandhi on one hand and one of the Bee Gees on the other. I knew he sort of said good things about loving others, and in my mind's eye, he had the sort of blonde hair and blue eyes thing going on as well. But when I began to look at things like this that Jesus said in the Gospels, I began to realise there was much more to him than I had thought. And these words of Jesus are very typical of him. Jesus often said extraordinary things about himself, and they take us to the very heart of Christmas. Jesus is telling us in these verses why he has come. And I want to suggest, if we have eyes to see, they're quite surprising things he says. Firstly, Jesus says he's come to serve. He describes himself as the Son of Man. It's always a bit weird when someone talks about themselves in the third person. But Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, and that may not mean much to us, but it would have meant a huge amount to Jesus' first hearers. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, the Son of Man was a title, and it was given to a man who would one day be given all of God's authority. Someone through whom God would run the universe. Someone through whom all of his purposes and plans would be fulfilled. A man who would be divine and worshipped. And so when Jesus describes himself as the Son of Man, he's making a huge claim. And if you're familiar with the teachings of Jesus, it is typical for him to make claims like this. He's not claiming just to be another moral teacher. He's not claiming to be another spiritual guide or just a good example. He claims to be the person the Old Testament looked forward to, the one with all the spiritual backing and authority of God himself. And it's a claim we cannot ignore. Jesus says he is the Son of Man. He is the most powerful man who has ever lived. And yet, he says he's come to serve. Now, I take it that's a surprise to us. In our culture, we measure someone's power by how many people they have serving them. I spent a summer working for a church in Bangkok many years ago. And a family there invited me to spend a day off with them. I knew that the husband was something senior in a multinational, but I didn't realise quite how senior and how powerful until I went round. The first clue was they didn't send a driver, they sent one of their drivers to pick me up. That should have really been the first tip-off. When we got out of the car at their home, As I walked up towards the front door, security guards stood to attention and saluted me. I don't know what day-to-day life is like for you. I don't normally get saluted as I walk through the front door at home. And they had staff everywhere. You'd be sitting on a couch and you'd lean forward to take a sip of your drink, and as you sat back again, you'd realise the cushion had been mysteriously fluffed by some ninja servant somewhere. And the best thing was that at one point they needed to nip out for about an hour, and they gave me a phone and a menu and said, if you feel like anything at all, just call our chef and he'll be very pleased to make any of these things and bring them to you. And my reaction was to think, well, I could get used to that. I could probably cope living in that kind of environment. Well, Jesus is saying he's the most powerful man in the world, and yet he has not come to be served. No, he's saying he's come to serve. Not to employ a servant, but to be a servant. And that is the kind of person Jesus is, because that is the kind of God he claims to be revealing to us. We might expect, mightn't we, if God was there and was to come and visit this world, we might expect his message to be, well, you've got to just put a bit more effort into it. You've got to be a bit more religious. You've got to pull your socks up and be better. But the kind of God who is there is a God who serves. And for friends among us who might say that they don't believe in God, I'm willing to bet all the money in my pockets against all the money in yours that this is not the God you don't believe in. The God Jesus reveals to us is a God to whom we matter. He's a God who's interested. He's a God who cares. He's the God who made you. He's the God who came up with the idea of you in the first place. And he doesn't see you according to your looks or according to your earning potential or according to your grades at school or university. He doesn't see you according to your sporting prowess. He sees you as someone worth his while serving. Jesus says he has come as the Son of Man to serve. And then the second surprise, I think, in these verses is that he's come to die. It's not just that he came to serve, but how he's come to serve that is shocking. Some of us might think, well, okay, God, you've said you've come to serve. That's great, and I've got a few ideas as to how you might do that. Maybe some of us are thinking, well, I'd quite like a difficult family situation to be resolved. Or someone close to me is very sick, and God, if you're there and you want to serve me, then please make them better. Or maybe some of us are thinking, I would love a relationship. God, if you want to serve me, please give me that. But Jesus says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he goes on by saying, and to give his life. Jesus' claim is that his death is going to serve us. His death is not just going to be a gesture or a statement. His death, he says, is going to be a ransom. His death is of service because his death is a ransom. Now, I'm guessing that's a familiar concept for most of us. If someone is taken captive, a ransom might be demanded. In theory, if the ransom is paid, that person can be released. That's a sad fact that that's what life is like in some parts of the world today. And Jesus says his death is a ransom. And I just want you to think with me, friends, about what that implies about you and about me. Because if Jesus says his death is a ransom for us, Jesus is saying that we are not free. However much we might think otherwise, however much we might feel otherwise, Jesus is implying we are captives. We're not in control. And I think there are times when we sense that. Most of the time we kind of think, yes, I'm in control of my life. I chose when to get up this morning. I've chosen where to be at each point of the day. But in another sense, we know that we're not in control. I think about my reflexes to certain situations. I think about my tendencies. Things I might want to change about myself but can't. In our more thoughtful moments, I think we're conscious that we're never the version of ourselves that we want to be. We're never the version of ourselves we sense we should be. Jesus has a way of accounting for that would take a bit too long to explain now, but it has to do with what the Bible calls sin. And Jesus says in thousands of little ways, every day of our life, we have made ourselves more and more captive to sin. That is why we find it so hard to change. So hard to be the self that we sense we should be. Jesus says all of it is because we're out of sync with God. God made us to know him, to be in a relationship with him. He made us to enjoy him and to love him. And Jesus says that is what true freedom is. That is what we were designed for. That is what all of us by nature have forsaken. And that is what Jesus has come to restore us to, if only we will come to him. He says his death is a ransom. His death is a payment for all the ways in which we've ever turned away from God. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." My friends, Jesus came to serve me and to serve you. And his claim is that the very best way he can serve any of us is to lay down his life as a ransom for us. Well, let me finish with some words of prayer, if you'd like to bow your heads. Some words, actually, we were just singing a few moments ago. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.